Okay. So Pesach Sheni starts like this. Va'yehi anashim asher ayu tmeim lenefesh. There were people who were impure souls. Adam v'lo yachlu la'asot ha'pesach b'yomo. And for some reason, they could not do the Pesach, the Paschal Lamb offering. Va'yikrivu lifnei Moshe. And they approached Moshe. It's interesting, the Lashon of Va'yikrivu, like a korban, you know. Lifnei Aaron. And they also asked Aaron, because you know, Aaron was a nice guy. So they figured, ask him too. Va'yomo. Va'yomer anashim ha'emai elav anachnu tumeim lanefesh. We're impure. Adam lama nigra levilti yikrivet korban Adonai. So why should we be held back to bring a sacrifice to Hashem? But toch bnei Yisrael, amidst the Jewish people, they also wanted to offer a sacrifice. And Moshe says, that's a great kashi. Let me, you stand here, let me go ask God. And God spoke saying, if there is a man who is impure soul or far away for all your generations and he does a Pesach to Hashem, that's our month, that's today, that's pretty much like now, right? Afternoon, right around over there. We're going to do it. Al matzot marim yuchlu, matzah and marer together. And then it goes on to say that all the laws are the same. So this is a fascinating story. First and foremost, what's unique about this mitzvah
of Pesach Sheni?
It's a makeup. It has a makeup aspect. Good, but what else is interesting?
Isn't it essentially just tashlum? Like every holiday is tashlum. The only reason why Pesach has, like every holiday, it's just tashlum for the Pesach.
Uh-huh. It's interesting. Well, do we, the concept of Tashlumin, is it mentioned in the Torah itself? I don't think so. So, you know, Pesach Sheni is mentioned in the Torah itself. Maybe Pesach Sheni is the source for Tashlumin.
Yeah.
The fact that there isn't even a concept of Tashlumin.
Why do you have to wait an entire month for Pesach Sheni? Why can't Pesach Sheni just be done during things?
Well, I think the assumption is that they might still be impure. Only a month later were they pure. Well, in this case, we understand what happened. That, like, you know, it was a month later, and that's when they were finally, they woke up one day, and they said, hey, we want to do that sacrifice. But it's interesting, why didn't they do it? Maybe they were pure a week later. Why did it take so long for them to be in?
Them pure the next day. Like, why do I have to wait another?
Right, that's a good question.
Month, minus a day.
So maybe Rashi will enlighten us a little bit. That's a good question. What else is unique about this mitzvah in terms of the story, as opposed to other mitzvahs? How do most mitzvahs start?
God tells Moshe what to do.
How did this mitzvah start?
Moshe has no idea what to do. Moshe goes and asks God.
So where does it start from?
A desire from the people.
Oh, give up. It starts from below. Awesome. So the first thing that's unique about this mitzvah is that it starts from the people. Where's the only other commandment, or not really mitzvah for Ladoris, but the other time we see that there was a question?
No tzlofa. Also with Aaron in Shmini about eating pata.
Ah, that's another good.
Darash.
For sure. Gevalt.
Also so, Malchut.
Malchut, you have to ask for it. That's interesting. Yeah. So some explain that this is actually the source for the beginning of the Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? Where it doesn't start from God, it starts from us asking, Moshe, we have a Shaila, and then that coming down into the earth. This is the source that we can bring things down. It's not just all from Hashem. We all have our own individual chelek, right? If we don't invest ourselves in the Torah, the Torah is not complete. So, it's actually fascinating that Pesach Sheni, when does it always come out? In which month?
Don't worry right now.
Iyar, Gival, the second month. As you see the Israeli flag flying there. So what are the other, biblically, how many holidays are there in Iyar?
One.
Just this one. And even this one, it really wasn't necessarily meant to be. Right? We made it happen. So what are the other examples of holidays that have come to be on Iyar?
There's four.
Yom HaTzmaut.
Yom
HaZikaron.
Yom
Yishalayim. Yom HaZikaron, sort of.
Lag BaOmer.
Yom Yishalayim, Lag BaOmer, and Pesach Sheni. And Yom HaZik. All of which are holidays which started from us, right? Not from God, but we made it happen. And in fact, that's kind of the whole idea of Sefirat HaOmer. We're slowly climbing our way through our discipline you know, creating the vessels to receive the Torah. So Iyar is all about us, that eat Orut Milatata, and then Sivan, it comes down from above.
Tata is in Gosh.
From Tata below. Means from below, and Mila'ela means from above. So this month is all about things that we earn amongst ourselves. This is a huge concept in Judaism, that there are certain things where we can't just get it. We need to earn it, like, to a certain extent, and then God gives it to us. For example, what's another example of that? I mean, we just prepare the vessels, and then God gives it to us as a gift. Something that, it's our job to prepare the vessels, but then God gives it to us. The Kotel, good. Yerushalayim, Harbais, excellent. But what else? Kedusha, for example. To be a holy person, is there anything you can do to become Kadosh? Not necessarily. Seel Tzicharim says you have to do things which will make you Tahor, and then the Kedusha is granted you as a gift. Or another example, Nevuah, or Ruach HaKodesh. Right? You can't earn Nevuah. It's something that you have to prepare yourself, the vessels, and then Hashem will, like, give it to you as a gift. So this month is all about that energy of the... We have to fight for ourselves. We have to make it happen. We have to fight to learn that Torah, to learn that Chumash, have our own projects. It can't just all be spoon-fed to us from Hashem, right? So that's lesson number one of Pesach Sheni. We know, right? Like, we're tapping into the spirituality of what this day is about. So that's the first thing. It's this awakening from below. Lesson number two of Pesach Sheni is that the question is, wait a second. If they were potter from bringing a korban, then why are they making such a big fuss? They're potter. God said they don't have to bring it. They were doing something else. Give out. Move on. Right? Be happy with your situation. So what's going on here? Why do they say, Lama nigra mimenu? Why should it be withheld from us? Right? What's that coming to teach us? Why do the people want to bring the korban so bad if they were exempt from it technically? Ben, what do you think?
Get closer to God.
Awesome.
Well, they say it themselves, and right after they say, like, why can't we be a part of Bnei Yisrael? Like, that's, like, it's almost an essence of being part of Bnei Yisrael is bringing the korban.
So actually, you guys actually said two different things. They're both beautiful. Ben's saying it's just they want to get close to God. They don't want to be exempt. They don't want to be yotzei. The mitzvah itself is a way to get close to God. And Shai is saying something different. It's not just about being close to God. It's about being part of Am Yisrael. I don't want to be separate than Am Yisrael. I actually never thought of that. That's a beautiful answer.
Rav Amital says it.
Oh, yeah? Kabbalah. So that's really nice, being B'toch Yisrael. And this is another time to Dafka during Sefirat HaOmer. It's appropriate to talk about this because what's our favorite prayer in Judaism? Always? Hini Mukhan Muzuman.
Right.
Which we talked about before,
yes.
Is a mitzvah that you say before you do Sefirat HaOmer. And we've always asked why is it so important to do Hinei Mukhan Mezuman before Sefirat HaOmer? Because what's the difference between showing up to davening and Marv starts at 8, you get there 8:05, you run, say, quick Shema Shemone Esrei, or getting there 7:50, learning a little bit about davening and then starting your Shemone Esrei? What's the difference? The difference is that when you prepare for something, it's a totally different experience. You have a relationship with the mitzvah. It's not just jumping into it. So that's why this month we start saying Hini Nimuchan Muzumin. We want to have a relationship with the mitzvahs we're doing. We don't want to just jump into it. We want to really be connected to it. So that's another idea that the Pesach Sheni is reminding us of, is don't just jump into the mitzvahs. Have a relationship. It's a way to get close to God. Don't just look for the exemption to be yotze. A mitzvah is an opportunity to get close to God and get close with the Jewish people. Gevalt. Awesome. Lesson number three. This one will go a little midrashic, a little Rashi. So why were they impure? What were the Jewish, these Yidden doing that they became impure? What have you guys heard? What mitzvah were they busy doing, and that's why they're impure? You guys ever hear any explanation?
No.
So Rashi explains, there's actually several explanations, but he quotes a Gemara in Sukkah, which says that these Yidden were busy with the bones of Yosef. They were the ones schlepping the bones of Yosef. That's why they were impure. And that's why now they became pure finally. I guess they had to stop. They put Yosef's bones away and they could bring this korban. Okay? So now, the question is, every Rashi is deep. So what's we really trying to teach us? What does it mean that everyone's pure? You know? So that, I mean, why Dafka? I'm sorry. Why Dafka Yosef?
The people.
Why Dafka were they dealing with Yosef? So if you think about it, the concept of Pesach Sheni and the concept of Yosef are actually integrally related to each other. They're actually very connected to each other. How so?
The topic of what?
The topic of Yosef.
Yeah.
And the topic of Pesach Sheni are actually very connected.
Second chances.
Oh, gewalt. Awesome. Nice. Why is Yosef all the Rebbe of second chances?
Because of Binyamin, like with he gave his brothers a second chance to help Binyamin, right? And like he kind of split Yosef, that he gave the brothers a second chance to help Binyamin. Hashem gave the Jews a second chance to bring the Karban Pesach.
Gewalt. Awesome. So, answer number one, Rishai says that Yosef gave his brothers a second chance. He didn't hold a grudge. He forgave them. In fact, according to Rabbi Nachman, why is he called Yosef a Tzaddik? Because he didn't hold a grudge. He knew it was all from Hashem. Right? So, that's why Yosef is a Rebbe of second chances. Not only that, he himself was given a second chance. Right? He messed up Lashon Hara, this or that, but God gave him a second chance, and so he's a Rebbe of second chances. And in fact, his mother, Rachel, was one who gave Leah a second chance. And she was given a second chance by Yaakov Avinu. So Yosef represents his Torah of giving people a second chance. So in Pesach Sheni, another big teaching is that, let's say there's a friend who did something wrong to us, right? Let's say we were mean. Just the same way we'd want them to give us a second chance, this is a time to tap into maybe that, to give them a second chance.
Don't hold a grudge.
Gewalt. And finally, I want to just close the final teaching. Pesach Sheni. Gewalt.
Gewalt.
What does Pesach Sheni have to teach us? There's a lot. You can keep going, right, with a lot of things.
Don't rely on second chances.
This is on a related note. It's teaching us that even these... It says that anyone who felt far away from the ability to bring the korban, or is it obederech rechoka? So Chassidus explains that also represents someone amongst us who feels spiritually far away, who feels not amongst us, who feels like disconnected. He might just give up. Pesach Sheni's come and say, no, it's never too late to start again, to start afresh. Could be you're 28 days into the Omer and you haven't accomplished anything. Says, no, you could start again. Could be you wasted your entire year. You haven't start chumash.
Start now. Start anew.
Can start again. Start afresh. It's time to start being here, being real. I want to close with maybe one last story about this. We mentioned the concept of never giving up, of always giving things a second chance, and not just giving it one shot. So there's a story. You guys know the story where Shlomo met the stewardess on the airplane?
I believe so.
Okay, so I'll tell you a different story.
Okay.
I'll tell you a different story.
I never heard that story.
You never heard
it? Never heard it.
You never heard it? All right. So I'll say it again, because it's a really nice story. So this... One time of Shlomo, he used to crisscross the whole country. And he sees this lady who's a stewardess. And she looks like a regular, Christian stewardess, except... He sees that she's saying Tehillim. Saying Tehillim. So he starts schmoozing with her, and it turns out that she is Jewish. How is she Jewish? She converted. So he started schmoozing, and she says, Rav Shlomo, now that you're my friend, maybe you could help me out. You see, I'm engaged, and I love this amazing Fruma Yid. But the problem is, both our parents are very against the relationship. So what do we do? Like, they're putting pressure on us to break it off. My parents are against it because they're Christian. They don't want me to be marrying this Jew. And his parents are Holocaust survivors. And they don't want him to be marrying this shiksa. They don't care if she converted. They don't want anything. So maybe you could talk to the families and convince them that we're meant for each other. So Shlomo never gave up. So he says, all right, I'll try. So first he calls the Holocaust survivors. And he says, no. Holy Yidden, this lady, she's so holy, they didn't want to hear it. They hang up right away. They're not interested. He calls again, they're not interested. So Shlomo could have just given up, but he says, no, I got to keep pushing. So he calls the Christian lady's parents, not the convert, Amy. So they also are not interested. They don't want to hear about it. No way. So Shlomo's about to give up, and he says, no, I have to give it one more push. So he tells them a joke, and he says, listen, I'm just trying to help God out. It says in the Gemara that God, with his free time, what does Hashem do? He makes shiduchim, he matchmakes. So I just want to help God out. So help me help God. So they have a little chuckle, and they say, this guy's really sincere, he just won't give up. And so he says, you know, Shlomo, I'm going to tell you a secret that we've never told anyone before. We're really Jewish. We're not Christians. Just after the Holocaust, we were so angry at God that we turned away from our traditions. But, holy brother, we're Jewish. So you could tell them that we're Jewish and they don't have anything to worry about. We're not chicks or goys. And so it was that the two were meant to be wed, and the engagement was set, and the two families are going to meet each other, and at the hotel, the families come in to meet each other, and the two fathers lock eyes, and they say, Maishala, Shlaimi, and they start hugging each other. It turns out they were chavrusas before the war. Hashem runs the world. Kivalt, and he says, wow, we gave up on our promise, but Hashem never gave up on his promise, and we promised each other that our children would marry each other before the war, and we totally forgot about it. Kivalt, but Hashem remembered, and the two were married and lived happily ever after, I assume. But the point is that, Mamish, when you're in that tough situation and feel like giving up, and it's over, and it's not worth it, remember Pesach Sheni, Ayid never stops pushing, and keep that Itarut Mile Tata going, and Hashem should bless us, and we'll see endless blessing in our lives.
Oh, man, speaking of endless blessing, they're building the Beis Hamikdash.
Oh, awesome.